You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Well, hi there, everybody. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill. And with me, I've got the 365 Days of Horror, our boy Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
Going well. Happy fall or autumn, whichever everyone prefers, even though most of the United States is currently baking.
Man, I'm fucking chilling. This is the coolest, I guess, fall in Texas I can ever recall. That probably means terrible things for, like, the global ecosystem, but right now it's wonderful.
Well, isn't your water filled with Brini eating amoebas now? Yeah, I just read.
No, that's Lake Jackson, Texas, which is where I lived in as an infant, and it's probably one of the most poisoned places in America, so hopefully those two things are unrelated. It's a Dow chemical company town, so I don't know why you would expect anything to be potable there.
Who could have predicted?
Yeah. So no brain amoebas for me that I'm aware of yet.
Just brain worms.
Brain worms. I'm filthy with them. Yeah. So are you enjoying the this cooler autumn weather? You out with your tasteful cardigan, watching the leaves turn colors?
The weird thing is, like, maybe a week or two ago, it was below average temperatures. Like, it was getting into the 40s at night. And now it's been in, like, the high 70s, like, low 80s. So we've kind of just had the snap back and forth of, it's too cold, now it's too hot. So hopefully in October, it actually becomes October weather.
Well, we gotta find some time to really dive into that there depressing music, what we love listening to. Hey, it's not just you and me today. We've left out a very special boy. We got Brennicide with us today. Brenno, how you doing?
Do you mean I'm the special boy?
You're the special boy.
Hey, I'm the special boy. Not much to report from the Brennicide camp these days, my boys. You know how it is. It's just nothing's going on. But I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm on social media because I'm lonely. We're all lonely. There's like nothing.
Yeah, we're all looking for connections.
Right. Some fighting's going on, some scrapping on the old Twitter sphere.
I can scarcely believe it.
Yeah. Deftones put out a new album. I haven't had the chance to listen to it, but apparently it's great. Apparently it's a good album. I'll take some time to check it out.
Didn't they just put out an album? Like right before this one?
They put out I'm just stating they just put out a new album. I'm not saying like it's been a million years since they did.
Oh, okay. I thought that they had something rather fairly recently. Either that or the Deftones discourse just doesn't end.
Right.
It never ends. I've seen people either love this album or hate this album. And it's just like, to me, it just sounds like Deftones.
Right. I haven't listened to a Deftones album since they were very accurately called nu metal, and then there's been some revisionism along the way.
So a lot of the arguing is about classifying them, which is silly because
the classification that's a thing I just can't get enough of.
Yeah, it's such a great, it's so fun to see on the internet people just be like, no, they're post millennial slam core. Oh, shut the fuck up. Just stop. Just don't. They're just like, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't like the guy that enters the chat and is just like, Deftones is just Deftones, bro. Chill out. You know, like, that guy sucks too. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to invite him to the party. But he's right. it's like, why do we try so hard with this shit?
Because how else are we going to construct an identity when we're just boring middle-class kids?
Right. But something we were getting into a little bit before the show started is that, from my recollection, from late 90s, early 2000s, you know, cue the Brian Williams meme. I was there, okay? Nu metal was a derogatory term that was come up by a bunch of forum dwellers. And picture this, okay? You got the really, really low-resolution Vic Rattlehead or Eddie or Murray from Dio or, like, Snaggletooth from Motorhead. Just, like, those four mascots. Just profile picture after profile picture of those four mascots just talking mad shit about the latest generation of music. And they came up with the term nu metal because those bands at the time had a trend of just misspelling their names, a la Limp Bizkit or Linkin Park or Korn, et cetera, et cetera.
See, I have a different memory of this time, probably because I didn't get the internet until a little bit later, but I remember seeing like the rise of nu metal on the covers of like Hit Parader and
Circus,
absolutely, a good catch. I remember that being something that was pushed by either the writers or the publicists. The publicists, more likely.
Well, I mean, my opinion is that that's like a cart before the horse kind of a thing. Like I'm sure the magazines picked it up from the discourse online.
I don't know that in those days, I don't know if that was the case. I think the internet was very much not a part of your daily life that way. Or if it was, like, you were on your very specific, like, I don't know, if you're a professional metal magazine writer, I assume that you're reading about degenerate gambling or something.
Well, I mean, come on. I mean, picture some of these metal writers we know these days. It's not totally out of the possibility that they were dialing up to AOL like the rest of us in a certain time. And I know you're saying that you haven't had the internet earlier. For some reason, my family was just really early adapters. We had dial-up that was extremely slow, and then dial-up that was less extremely slow, and we just incrementally upgraded to, I remember the first time we got cable modem, and it was like, wow, I can actually get a Napster song in under 20 minutes. It's amazing.
I didn't get fast internet until I went to college. That sucked.
And yet you are so bold in your assumption of my incorrectness.
I think it could have been a concurrent rise, perhaps, but it could have been that some people saw this tag and they took it immediately like, this is clearly a derogatory thing. I don't know, Jordan, what's your take on that one?
I mean, we have to think about this in the sort of timeline. The rise of nu metal was, what, 97, 98 is when it really started to be in the greater public conscious, which means it actually started a few years before, in like the mid-90s, 94, 95, 96.
Yeah, 94 kind of when was Korn, like when they put out Life is Peachy, right?
Around that time. And also there were even bands like Life of Agony or even Vision of Disorder, which were kind of classified as hardcore bands, like in the New York scene. But when you really listen to them, it's sort of like pre-nu metal. It's sort of this same general sound. It hadn't moved over into the wearing dirty tank tops and baggy jeans sort of section that nu metal has now become known for. And that being said, if you're looking at the timeline, mid-90s, probably not that many people had the internet as much. And if you were a writer for metal magazines, you'd probably been a writer for years at that point, still kind of relying on the written format to inform people. So I'm sure it's a little bit of back and forth, but it really took off. The more people got internet in the late 90s and early 2000s, the more it kind of shifted into, oh, this is nu metal, to nu metal. This is ruining heavy metal.
Fucking, I just don't remember the phrase nu metal without the word fucking in front of it. Another really popular term alongside of it was malcore, and the magazines didn't pick that one up. It wasn't quite as catchy. But,
well, malcore has been, I think that's been something that's been present since the hair metal days, like referring to the music that your peers enjoy is something that the teeny boppers are into. That's a pretty popular thing among dorks.
Right. But I feel like the first person to state nu metal was, I mean, like, just like consider what the reasoning behind putting a term together like that could possibly be. Like it purposefully misspelt just new there, and we're talking about, you know, new things. It sounds so much to me like the spite of a previous generation, and that's just what I, and that was my experience when I heard the phrase thrown around. That's who was saying it. I'm sorry, Jordan, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead, Jordan.
I had always heard the term mall metal rather than mall core, and that was always associated with people that hung out at Hot Topic, which at the time was new metal. So it's all just kind of the same amorphous derogatory naming.
I think that also you've forgotten a period of time in American history where everything was extremely extreme.
I do.
Yeah, Mountain Dew was really the defining cultural product for about a decade or so in American history, where you had Mountain Dew Triple X, you had Triple X movies, you had...
I mean, how dare you imply that I forgot the extreme years?
It was because it was relatively good times for the country, like economically things were going okay. Like, well,
right before everything jumped off a fucking cliff and would never return, that's when we were extreme as hell.
Yeah,
because in the early 90s we had a recession in the first George Bush, and then during the Clinton era things had picked up and kind of the middle class had expanded a bit, and then, you know, everything.
Kids could afford a half pipe and a skateboard. It was sick. You know, we could build one in our backyards, which we had backyards back then. Really, it was something to behold.
That was honestly, like, it's kind of funny to think about. Like that writer, philosopher guy, Francis Fukuyama, deemed that period in the time that we were living in the end of history, because things are so good right now. Nobody will ever want to change this neoliberal consensus. And then it seems like, wow, you don't actually get a choice in that matter.
For a few years, there was enough money going around where people could explore some things.
Yeah. And
unfortunately, malaise and suburban boredom kind of set in, which allowed us to get angry about our parents and want to go skydiving.
Yeah, and I think that...
If you want to, like, consider what really... A system that works well for the middle class, the upper middle class, and above... just think about in other countries, the case of mayhem, where you have, you know, pretty pampered boys that are just sick of things being nice, so they kill their friends. Or in America, you have the Menendez brothers.
Yeah. Even nu metal guys grew up. Mayhem never grew up.
Yeah, never. That's never true. Will. I mean, have you heard Necro Butcher say anything lately?
Lots of F slurs.
I would have killed Vark. I would have done it. I was on my way. Yeah, I was there. Brian Williams meme. I was on my way to kill Vark. Yeah, but I think it's interesting that Jordan made the point about exploring a bit more, because that's what nu metal was. It was guys just doing things with heavier music that they had the record label cash to fuck around with. And so you had a lot of really weird, obnoxious sometimes, but like kind of out of the blue cool stuff at the same time going on. And it was just this mishmash of stuff that really pissed off the old guard, who thought that Guns N' Roses was the only band that mattered. And, you know, it just, it was like, if you look back on it anything but fondly, you're kind of an asshole. It just was so, it was fun. It was like pure fun. And it was on MTV. It was on the radio all of the time. They had fucking Slipknot songs on the radio. Can you even imagine that these days?
There was I think one of the big youth cultural wars at the time was with TRL and the constant battle between Korn and like NSYNC.
Yeah, like metalheads.
Those two were battling it out.
They'd swarm online. And TRL, they didn't have... I mean, if there was a TRL these days, you know there would be some sort of like gatekeeping going on to make sure that only the poppest of pop stayed there and they wouldn't actually listen to what people wanted. But I remember Tom...
On the other hand, I feel like it would be 100 gecs or some shit like that.
Oh, fucking probably, yeah. They would keep that off. But I remember Tom Green's The Bum Bum song, Bum Bum song getting number one. I can't talk today. But Tom Green, The Bum Bum Song, it got number one on TRL. And then Tom Green was featured on that episode, and he declared that The Bum Bum Song would be retired from TRL from that day. And I just know there was record label executives that were like, get this shit off the show.
what the fuck ever happened to Tom Green? He was really a shining cultural byproduct at the time.
I'd love to tell you, like yesterday, he was on the Drew Barrymore show. And he's like gray and beaten down and depressed looking on this show. And he's talking to Drew Barrymore, who is still, you know, very rich and popular and has all the most personal trainers and expensive products to keep her beautiful. And he's just sitting there, a defeated man, like petting his dog on this chair and trying to be nice to her. And she's just going off in this like ditzy, loving way about how much she loved him. And you just watch his heart breaking during the interview.
Oh, my God.
Because they haven't spoken for like 20 years and she doesn't give a shit about him.
Oh, my. I forgot that they were like an item.
Yeah. Yep. So blast from the past from you guys, but we can move on. I think that the whole nu metal shit sucks. I don't hear anything that the Deftones does and a lot of things that the other bands did from the time. I mean, even Limp Bizkit and Korn were wildly different for what it was worth. It's just, I don't know. It was just fucking a cool time to have a distorted guitar and just fuck around and, you know, grow that chin beard out and get big jeans and have some fun. But
I can't tell you how badly I wanted a 7-string guitar in those days.
Oh man, they were like a lot more money back then.
Oh dude, you can get a 7-string now for like $200.
Yeah, absolutely, you could.
Just before we get off talking about Deftones, I don't know how you can listen to a song like "My Own Summer" or "Seven Words" and not say that. I mean, how is that not nu metal?
Well, yeah, it is. It is.
You can manifest a chain wallet. Listen to that.
Hey, just don't deny it. The band doesn't deny it. And like, yeah, their sound has evolved and changed, and that's fine. But just to say they were never is factually wrong.
I guess that's not my concern. My concern is not saying that, like, yeah, this is definitely music from the time. Like, it was. Like, of course it was. I like Deftones considerably less than most metalheads that I know do. I just get a little confused by it because I put them in that same camp immediately. I'm like, wow, you know, it's a little Limp Bizkit, isn't it? Like, that's just immediately how I feel about them. But because that's what I remember from them. I remember those songs.
It's got that stank from those old days on it. You know, if you're able to, like, you know, cast that off and enjoy the music, like, good on you. I'm not going to make fun of you or nothing. I'm just saying, like, that's the way that I perceive the whole thing. Oh. And also, it's like, I don't know, since I was never really into them the first time around, I never really gave them a chance as they continued their career. And on the, you know, I've kind of gone off the deep end. I listen to dumber and dumber things. Like, what I listen to is less well-constructed. It sounds objectively shittier. So, like, don't look to me to have a coherent opinion about what good music is. Hey. I've spent the entire week willingly listening to either extremely lo-fi black metal or fucking Six Feet Under.
Yeah, but, and I mean, like, your love of Insane Clown Posse is well documented and appreciated.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
so we get it. It's fine. Listen to what you want. Don't worry so much about what shit is called. Just like, fight about something online that matters right now. There's a lot to discuss. Scientifically try to convince any given aunt that you have about how 5G isn't the problem, you know, like, take it somewhere else, get that energy somewhere more positive. So is there anything else we can add to this or you want to move on? Or
so did you say if the album's good or not?
Oh, I don't know. Who cares? That's not the point. That's not why we're on the internet. No one cares about the music being good. It's all about this other shit.
I was talking about going through and listening to Six Feet Under this week, and a guy on Twitter reaches out. He's like, hey, man, have you ever listened to Snakes by Six Feet Under, which is on a record that I've been listening to a lot? And I put it on, and I realize I've heard this song a few times before, and I realize it is almost the exact same thing as Big Truck by Cold Chamber.
Oh, man.
But like, one of those bands is repped by, you know, the gross old goatee man, and the other one is, well, I guess they're the same one now, but they have very different opinions about music.
I guess I'd have to check it out. I don't ever want to hear another Six Feet Under track on purpose, but it's always funny to.
They're one of those bands where if you've heard one song, you're good for life.
Yeah, even if it's a cover song.
Yeah, I can't get enough. I intentionally did this myself, and now I'm unironically a huge Six Feet Under fan.
Now you have a gross goatee.
It's true. I found that fucking ball bearing necklace that they haven't sold since 1999. It's really giving my neck a rash.
Oh dear.
We can move on though.
Okay.
We can move on.
Yep, forever.
Jordan, I know that you had something pretty serious that you wanted to discuss on this week's show.
is this about, I mean, are we segueing from one from old new metal to new metal?
I couldn't remember what it was, so yes.
So you were just pitching in general, grasping at the air, hoping that I could fill the void for you.
I figured if I threw something at a screen door that we could get something on the other side.
This story came up a couple days ago when it really raised my dander and got me pretty mad in the moment to the point where, have you ever heard the term, like, this got me real heated?
Yeah.
Like, I actually was reading this and getting hot, like physically hot and sweating because it made me so mad. Five Finger Death Punches Zoltan Bathory on coronavirus pandemic. Quote, this will be over.
Okay. I mean, I know that, like, we kind of have our hobby horses that we sometimes get on, and I know that folks might be annoyed by that sometimes, but I feel like this one's probably worth talking about.
It's been 5 or 6 minutes since we talked about this stupid band.
So, this here is Zoltan Bathory feller. Now, what he's saying here is that this coronavirus thing that is the reason why I haven't been able to live, like, any kind of a normal life for the last 6 months is that it's over?
So he had an interview on something called Offstage with DWP. Offstage with DWP, feel free to mention Toilet of Hell on your next show. And I'm going to read a couple quotes, and we're going to have to stop and analyze this because there's a lot going on here, and a lot of it is infuriating. You have to realize that what we're dealing with now, while this is horrible in some ways, in some way, it's a little bit overplayed. In some way, it's overblown. In some way, the media are fanning the flames here. There are many ways to look at this, but the coronavirus is real. People do die from it. Now, if you look at the history of this planet, oh, geez, the things we survived as humans, much bigger, much worse. Two world wars, all the wars leading up to it, the bubonic plague, all kinds of crazy stuff. We lived, we survived, we're here. This will pass, this will end.
Okay, so the COVID-19 pandemic is real. That's good. We can like that. Yeah.
Good first step.
Yeah, right. That's a good first step.
Let's throw him that bone at least.
It is being overplayed by the media. It's an interesting. That's one of those thinky face emojis. Let's get further into this.
Right. Where are we going here?
And it's not two world wars, the wars leading up to it, or the bubonic plague.
The bubonic plague, which killed an estimated 25 million people worldwide.
It's worth noting that the planet experienced a period of rapid cooling due to the mass death of the bubonic plague. So that's a pretty sincere amount of death. So yeah. I don't know if it's necessary when you're comparing tragedies to go ahead and like look at the worst thing that's ever happened in terms of disease with the current thing that you're facing. It seems a little unfair from an argument's perspective.
And just be like, we survived. Well, not 25 million people.
Yeah, not literally a third of Europe did right. not.
Like, lights out for a major chunk of humanity that time. But hey, we're still hanging around. We're still kicking it. We're still down-tuning the riffs, bro.
I mean, I think they just announced this week that 7 million people worldwide have been infected with this. And while the official number, at least of deaths in the United States, is somewhere around 200,000 people, you know you could probably add at least 50,000 more. It hasn't been reported on because people are just like, oh, he had a heart attack. It's like, well, what brought on the heart attack?
I don't trust a single number that comes out of Florida because those guys are very obvious about cooking the books. They just,
they're reopening.
Yeah. They're reopening while they're in like one of the biggest waves that they had since the beginning. They don't give a shit, dude. They're trying to make those short-term profits.
Yeah, they're literally trying to burn through the population of Florida, which no comment.
I'm just saying, man. I'm sure there's decent people that live in Florida, and that's somewhere. The thing Well, that's the thing with like a pandemic, especially this one. It's we've shown it empirically. It only kills nice people.
Yeah, yeah. You have to have a kind heart in order to lose.
Okay,
it.
Okay, Herman, we got one.
That's one.
Just one guy. That's,
again, if you're gambling on those numbers, that is not a winning bet.
Wasn't there something about some other congressman or some asshole somewhere who was going off about how fake COVID-19 was, and then he dropped dead from it?
I mean, there's a lot recently. Of randos, like, that people have their screenshots from Facebook or whatever, where they're, like, being super stupid or super racist and they die, and that's funny or whatever, but it's also, like, this person had zero effect on, like, anybody's life.
It's
they're
like
fucking nobody.
It's like a state rep.
That's probably not what it was, yeah.
It's not Rand Paul.
Yeah.
In the meantime, like, it's, like, a 25-year-old doctor slash mother of 10, like, she's dead, because that's how this goes. So anyway, I digress. Let's continue where we're thinking with Mr. Zoltan Bathory.
Yeah, just to compare it to world wars, it's just
it's comparing apples to a world war.
It's kind of different.
Yeah.
But I guess when you live in the realm of guns good, police good, army good, everything is kind of compared to world wars because that makes your pee-pee go all wee-wee.
I mean, I have no frame of reference other than this thing that I derive my identity from. So let's go ahead and continue on with it.
Humans are hard to kill, man.
That is not true.
We're often soft and squishy and easily, you know, pokeable.
It is tragically easy to kill a person.
Your skin is like paper, dude. Yeah.
As an individual, oh my god. As an individual, remember, for you to be here today, you have to look at bloodlines. Oh. Right, we're going to stop right
oh,
there.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, hell yeah, bitch. Let's do this. I cannot wait.
Bloodline. It's like, god damn it. Like, if you heard the guy from Graveland saying that same sentence, you'd immediately go, oh yeah, this guy's a Nazi, of course, like this makes sense, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Anytime that you're talking, number one, you're already invoking like the strength of humanity, like against war and plague, looking at your individual bloodline, like I'm here for this, let's fucking strap in, man.
We have good genes.
I'm fucking tired, man.
He continues.
Does he ever?
Unfortunately, for you personally to be here today, that means every single ancestor of yours had to win a battle, had to survive a battle, had to survive the plague, all kinds of sicknesses, and kept surviving and surviving. So your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather, who was maybe a Viking warrior.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Came home from the battle, and then his son came home from the battle, and then his son and daughter survived the sickness and all the crazy things that happened on the planet.
Okay, so let's back this up a little bit. What Mr. Zoltan's saying here is that you individually, every single person that's hearing these words right now, is only alive due to the martial prowess of their ancestors defeating their enemies, their weaker enemies, in one-on-one combat, and that's why you are alive today and why you can get those gamer points while pre-ordering the new fucking Five Finger Death Punch album.
Yeah, it's like the survival of the fittest, like evolution. All of those years led up to like you eating Doritos on the couch watching Netflix. Like, that's fucking so badass, man.
Your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather, sick, meaty, juicy genes have brought you where you are today.
I'm saying this 100% unironically. I genuinely believe this. This is how the fascist mind works. That your survival means that somebody else had to die. And it's worth it, though, because they were weak and you're strong. That is exactly what a fascist believes.
Yeah. So, the fucking pussies didn't make it, but you did.
Exactly. Yeah, but you're different. You're somehow inherently better.
Holy shit, I'm reading what he said, and we're jumping the gun on like what he actually
we'll
said.
Get there.
Let's get there.
I mean, it's hard to get over talking about bloodlines and being a Viking warrior in like the same paragraph.
Absolutely, but we got to
and not all the red flags flying up in the air.
Right. Well, he just you know, he raises that red flag right in front of the school on these next few statements. Let's do it.
So you are here today. That means your bloodline is the bloodline of survivors, or you would not be here. So you are a winner. Yay!
Hooray. That's great.
I don't feel like a winner.
Throughout this entire human race and its evolutionary steps and the social revolution, whoever you are, wherever you are in the world, because you are here today, that means all your ancestors were winners, or you wouldn't be here. The loser died. So remember that. And if you look at the world from that perspective, then you get a totally different idea about life and survival. Yeah, I'll say. And if you look at life that way, then this idea of losers and winners goes away. Everybody who's alive today is a winner. In the worst case scenario, you're still a winner because somehow your bloodline didn't die. It's here today. You have to take on this, whatever is happening right now, as a challenge.
Yeah, so basically, if you got taken down by coronavirus or someone you deeply loved or cared about, you know, died of coronavirus. Loser. Pussy. Wussy. Yeah. Whiny baby wuss. So,
yeah, I mean, you were weak, and for that, you deserve to die.
Yeah.
That's how it is. Sorry,
you're,
bro.
You're not a winner like me.
It's all not just a random mishmash of people having lots and lots of sex, and you just happen to have come out at the right time.
This is also an entirely inaccurate reading of like history. Not all of history was fucking war and battle. and I a lot of people that believe that, like, they have insanely fucked up views about their day-to-day life. which is not surprising, because Five Finger Death Punch, this guy specifically, his identity is wrapped around like fucking holding on to guns and believing that if he weren't, you know, the songwriter in oddly popular new metal band, that he would be some kind of Hungarian Viking war criminal.
It's like, I'm sure if you really look at your grandfather's grandfather's grandfather, it's not that cool. Like, I'm pretty sure
I can tell you for certain that this Hungarian fella did not descend from Vikings, but it's more likely he did descend from Nazi collaborators.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Like, I'm pretty sure my grandfather's grandfather was just some, like, he's a potato fiend, man, and he's got to get those good working potatoes that aren't broke. He's got to go across the Atlantic to New York City to get some. That's just all that happened. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, I just can't help but like read all this, and I know it's just on our minds 24/7, but so much of this sounds like Trump talking about good genes, and if you're not doing well, then you're a loser.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
If you died in battle, you're a loser. I'm a winner because I'm alive right this second.
I like the ones that don't get caught. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I'd say this is the mindset of a lot of people. You see the guy that's fucking kitted out, open carrying, even though it's like there's nothing happening. Kids are fucking eating ice cream outside. Like, that is what's on his mind. He's thinking, I am a winner, I am a survivor, and I will crush anyone under my foot that gets in the way. But there's no conflict. You've created a conflict out of nowhere because you feel insecure that you think your grandfather might have killed like a village full of orphans because he needed to for some. It makes no sense. It is creating something out of nowhere, and it puts a lot of people in danger.
Total aside, speaking of kids eating ice cream, did you guys see that big kids eating ice cream sign that was dragged behind the truck of some Trump supporter online? And it's
funniest shit I've ever seen.
No, I haven't seen this.
The caption of it was like, "I never got to try ice cream. I was aborted." And it's just that's the tweet. Okay. Send tweet. Yeah,
it is genuinely one of the funniest things I think I've ever seen.
I'll send it to you later.
Unrelated.
But sort of related.
It's the same insane aggression of like someone who has a bumper sticker that says like, "Just try it, libtard." Like, no one's bothering you.
Who is threatening you?
It's like this perceived grievance and aggression towards you, even though no one cares.
I think it really does tie into like all of this insane militia violence targeted on like this nebulous idea of Antifa. You see some dudes in Black Bloc like standing up to cops and you think, this is a threat to me personally. Right. I will drive my Dodge Ram through them.
They're going to come into my suburb and they're going to try to take my wife and fat child.
Exactly.
There was a report just this weekend, there was a Republican event in Wisconsin where Kyle Rittenhouse, who murdered two people and injured a third, got a standing ovation.
This is, yeah, they're celebrating like this like radical violence against a perceived enemy. And I mean, like, what is it that your enemy wants? I mean, in a lot of cases, it's to defund police, to fund social services, to make sure that people don't fall through the fucking cracks of society so people can have food and a place to stay at night. And that is a threat to your entire worldview of civilization.
Not in my backyard.
It's baffling, and it's going to get so much worse because there is no reasoning with someone that's decided that all of history is one armed conflict.
And it gets boosted by a popular band like this, full of fucking numbskulls, saying things like, you're alive because of your strong Viking bloodline.
Yeah, it's the triumph of the fucking will, right?
So sadly, he continues. There's
oh, god damn it. I forgot we were still on this asshole.
It all ties together. So he says, this stupid coronavirus thing, you have to take it. Whatever happens and the effects of it, whatever comes up, you have to face it with the attitude that I'm going to beat whatever comes to me. If it's the virus, then you beat that. If it's a circumstance that it created, the economy circumstance, the effect, the ripple effect. Like, we can't tour right now. So how many people in this touring world, all the people who work in the live entertainment world, are out of jobs for a long time? It's going to take some time, but still, as I said, a lot of bad things happened in the world, and you're here. You somehow survived, so you have to regain that confidence.
Oh, what, wow. I don't understand your fucking millions of dollars sitting at home not touring.
Yeah, I don't understand what regaining my confidence is going to do when I can't get a fucking job, dude, when everything's, like, out of service.
You need to regain your confidence after contracting the virus, surviving it, and then having horrible heart defects that may last the rest of your life.
Yeah, with absolutely no government support in the meantime, you're just left on your own because you're a warrior, buddy. your grandfather killed a guy, so you can do this. You
know, yeah. Our friend Matt from Sluggage caught the coronavirus early on, and he's still saying he has effects from it. Like, he is still having shortness of breath and, like, energy issues and all these sorts of things. It doesn't just go away for everyone. We don't know how long this will last. And it's just like, you can't get out there and just make mean faces at coronavirus and wave the American flag at it until it goes away.
That is kind of interesting because it has left people with this mindset just totally fucking neutered. Like, this is not something that you can shoot your way out of, even though a lot of people will try.
They're just convincing themselves that it's the flu because idiot Trump has been saying that, even though privately he admitted it's worse than the flu. Yeah. And it's just this repeating lie over and over again that, like, well, American exceptionalism, I'm healthy, I have bad insurance through my employer, I'll be fine, I'm strong. Not like all these weak 20-year-olds or 5-year-olds that have died. I'm a white man in my 30s. I'll be fine.
Yeah, when it comes to coronavirus, I think the one thing that just sort of blows my mind the most is you have these people who are talking about, like, well, the numbers are way overblown. I mean, 200,000 people. I mean, that's not even that many. You got to consider heart disease. Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, dumbass, like, why do you think the number is quote-unquote so low? It's like the only reason it's low as it is because there's the quote-unquote overreaction. It's because all the shit that you like to do is shut down and you can't go eat inside of the Popeyes restaurant. Like, that's the fucking reason that things are as quote-unquote good as they are. It's just like, fine, you know, like, let's just fucking bring it all back and watch what happens. You know, I don't know. I don't know what these people want. I don't know where they come from with this shit. I don't know why they think that you can just be a really tough dude who moshes the coronavirus away. I don't know. I don't get it. I'm never going to understand the smooth-brainedness of this culture, but it is what it is, and I have to look at it on the internet every day.
Yeah, I mean, it is in real life, in practice, the complete uselessness of a reactionary mindset against real problems. Like, you have zero tools in your kit that can help you address this.
Yeah, pretty much.
And the final quote here is, the reason I'm talking about this aspect is I see how this whole thing affects most people psychologically. It's breaking them down, and as I'm seeing it when I'm talking to the people, I notice that that will have to be addressed. The economy fallout is one thing, but that will create this ripple effect psychologically, and I started to see that. Now, this is just a reminder that Zoltan Bathory plays guitar for a band. He doesn't have a PhD. He doesn't have an MD. I don't even know if he's a high school graduate. He plays mediocre guitar for a very mediocre band that wrote the song Champagne and complained about Blabbermouth comments. So don't listen to him.
If I can go on kind of a half-baked conspiracy theory for a moment.
No.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Fine. Why not?
There is this this article from years ago where Kevin Shields of My Bloody Valentine, he makes the claim that Britpop in the 90s was as successful and the people from those bands like, you know, Oasis and Primal Scream and all those bands are still like enduring celebrities today because it was a movement that was funded by the British government as a way of boosting their own nationalism among the world. And there, I don't know if I can find records of like the MI5 of England, like giving money to these guys, giving free promotion to promote the cause of a cool and united Britannia under a bunch of, well, all of the guys in these bands were like Tories anyway. I just believe in my heart of hearts that Five Finger Death Punch is an op. That some right-wing shadowy government cabal like gave this band a lot of money and promotion, and now we're stuck with a fallout from it. Because think about it. Like, Zoltan Bathory is an immigrant from Eastern Europe who loves nothing more than his concept of America. And the music that they create is nothing but like loving homage to the U.S. military and the fighting prowess of our boys in camo, you know? I think in my mind, this makes sense. I think there might be something to it.
I would buy into that if we heard their music on like during the commercial breaks for football on a Sunday. Like, we don't hear it quite enough for me to be like, yes, obviously.
Right.
It's just kind of the just underneath that happening. So instead of it being like a big government thing, I can believe it's like Freedom Works giving them money.
Yeah,
I believe that. Yeah. The Koch bros were like, this guy's grandfather helped us as a Nazi collaborator. So let's continue to extend the charity to his bloodline.
not to get off of metal, but just for 1 second, because you mentioned like Britpop. Did you see the song that Van Morrison wrote about being quarantined and lockdown?
I didn't listen to it, but I saw the headline on it.
I'll just read you some of the lyrics. And this is Van Morrison, who famously wrote the song Brown Eyed Girl. This song is called Born to Be Free.
Oh, yeah.
And it is an anti-lockdown themed song. And here are just some of the lyrics. Don't need the government cramping my style. Give them an inch, they'll take a mile. Ugh. Take you in with a phony smile. Wouldn't you agree? The new normal is not normal. It's no kind of normal at all. Everyone seemed to have amnesia just trying to remember the Berlin Wall.
Oh, Christ.
You talk about, you know, British boomers and Tories and how like a bunch of pop and even metal bands have now moved into the just the gammony way of thinking, and that's just that's it. It's purely distilled.
In the 60s, he wrote a song called TB Sheets, which was about, it was like, it's really kind of a haunting song about watching someone he loves die of tuberculosis and not being able to do anything about it. So I guess he forgot about all that shit.
He has to go to the pub.
That's right. Where else can you get a proper pint, right?
My entire childhood was just, every day was punctuated by my father and mother playing the, like, Van Morrison and the Chieftains on our big stereo system. And, oh my fucking God. It's just like, tell me more when I come home, the boys won't leave the girls alone, all fucking day, all the time, in my goddamn fake American Irish house.
You're just a Massachusetts stereotype.
Performative fucking Irish heritage bullshit all day, every day. Fucking bleak vases.
Your mantle just has a light up Bennigan sign atop it.
I will kill Van Morrison. I fucking if I ever see that motherfucker in the street, just for what he did to me alone, like, that's I don't give a, like, he wants to fucking run his mouth about this quarantine shit. I will, like, oh man, Van Morrison, you watch yourself, old man, because it's on.
If Breno sees you, it's fucking on site.
On, bro. Now we'll see what's really the Massachusetts stereotype.
I
will get out of my car and beat your ass.
I really like his album Astral Weeks. I think that's a great album, regardless of everything else. That's my hot take on Van Morrison. Also, I don't know if you've ever seen, what was the Scorsese thing, The Last Waltz? He's easily the most coked up person, like an entire fucking Hilo convention of this concert. He's got fucking coke boogers coming out his face the entire time. It's great.
Great. I wouldn't expect any less from him.
And that's when it's such a relief, almost, when you see these articles of maybe musicians you never really thought about or, like, didn't really consider having a good take. But it's like, Paul Stanley says people who don't wear masks are idiots. And it's like, well, thank you. That's nice, Paul Stanley. You said a normal thing. Or, like, you would expect some of them to be as dumb as Van Morrison. And just, like, an ounce of self-awareness and consideration for other people is nice.
Well, it's not only nice, but it's fucking, like, they get congratulatory backpats for it. Like, they're like, yes. Like, they're just, I don't know, like, yes, the Messiah, Paul Stanley, speaks from his throne. Yes, oh Lord, you were so wise in telling us to do the bare minimum.
I mean, I was kind of coming at it from the point of view that if Paul Stanley said something stupid about this, I wouldn't be surprised. So saying a normal conscientious thing is a surprise.
That's, it's like, oh, of course. Okay. I'm with you. I know where you're coming from. It's just, it's like amazing to see anyone with any sort of clout in the rock community come out with a take that is anything but searing hot. Like, if they just come out and they're just like, well, guys, we should listen to the CDC, they're smarter than us. You're just like, oh my God, wow. You actually, like, probably did some homework in high school. You're just a fucking genius among morons. It's amazing.
What a wise prophet. Of fucking-
All right. We got other people playing at Sturgis and infecting 250,000 people, so it's a mixed bag.
I don't know who this wrestler is that you sent me this tweet from, but I appreciate that they fucking bodied Chris Jericho.
So, to bore all the people who don't care about wrestling, new faction in WWE, they're supposed to be, like, non-political Antifa is what they're labeled as.
Hell yeah,
which just shows how oatmeal-brained Vince McMahon is. But they would just wear all black and smash up the ring and stuff like that. Who cares? Anyway, the group, like, officially revealed themselves and just have the worst names. I mean, there are professional wrestlers that are now named Slapjack, Mace, and T-Bar.
Hell yeah.
And, yeah. And,
I wish they would have named one of them Broken Starbucks Window.
And
tipped over trash can.
The wrestlers are now on Twitter posting as Mace and T-Bar, and they were just kind of trying to explain why WWE would give these people contracts when they're smashing things up, and it's you know, what can you say? Vince McMahon is in his 70s and he's out of touch. And Chris Jericho just kind of came after one of these guys for whatever reason, just to be a jerk. And this guy responded with just posting a screenshot of a bunch of wrestling websites talking about how Fozzy played Sturgis and now thousands of people are infected with coronavirus. I was like, good. Thank you. Go in for the kill.
Right.
Yeah. Those, I mean, because like Jericho's right with AEW, right?
Yeah.
So like they're not under the same rules of kayfabe. So he can just go ahead and say, like, you're a fucking washed up alcoholic that's killing people.
Yeah, well, it's once it's on the internet, it's true.
Yep. Yeah. That's neat. I like that.
It's way better than, like, the guys from Five Finger Death Punch sending happy birthday messages to a cop that had been shot instead of, you know, the people that had been shot by cops.
Yeah. Yeah. They do love doing that. They love supporting our boys in blue, don't they?
Yeah.
Just like shoving the boot all the way in their mouth.
Yeah.
Marty O'Patrick. I'm sorry about the bruise you got under your bulletproof vest, buddy. Take care. You know, sit on the couch for a bit and relax.
It's just like, man, sending you know, messages. I like the idea of Five Finger Death Punch getting together, like writing a really loving song for all the cops that have been suspended with pay. I know things are tough right now, buddy, but we believe in you. We believe you can beat that assault charge.
This next one is called Desk Duty.
Man, I fucking hate Five Finger Death Punch.
They just do everything they possibly can to insult me through existence.
Yeah, it's everything that I despise in America, just in one little totem, you know?
It's like a pure, perfect form of just all of the things I dislike. It's so interesting, almost, to just see that mirror just pointed back at me. This is the opposite of you, and maybe, you know, maybe you might reveal something to yourself by gazing to it.
There's this this politician who's, you know, House representative from outside of Houston. He's in one of the most gerrymandered districts in Texas, which might put it in the running for the United States. He's this one-eyed freak who, like, was in the military. He lost his eye because he was, you know, fucking around with a shook-up soda.
He took a bad cum shot to the eye.
Exactly, exactly. And that has made him just this incredible patriot that people are losing their minds over. He and a few other guys running in Texas put together this absurd ad that they released this week where it's Dan Crenshaw. He's playing some kind of Marvel super agent and like diving out of a helicopter and like meeting his bros that are also Republicans that were in the military running for office. And they're all like got these cool explosions behind them. And at some point fucking Crenshaw takes off his eye patch to reveal a bionic eye. And it's just like the most fucking cringe shit that I can imagine. And I was looking at this on Twitter and reading all of the middle-aged and older right-wingers just fucking clapping their hammy hands together like, this is the greatest, coolest shit I've ever seen. I want to move to Texas and vote for these real-life superheroes. And it's the same people
getting that fucking two-finger chubby over it, just fucking losing their mind online.
It's the same people that Five Finger Death Punch appealed to, this absurd, grotesque, cartoonish nationalism. It's like, I will never understand what you see here because you're looking at this and you're like, oh, it's just like the Marvel movies, except he wants to protect my liberties and he's real and this is cool. And it's, who are you? We're not the same fucking species.
Dan Crenshaw would not piss on you if you were on fire.
Even if he tried, he'd miss. His depth perception's fucked.
I just like everything in today's culture. It's Pete Davidson's fault. I just blame him specifically.
Oh, what a fucking cuck, dude.
I hate Pete Davidson so much.
Seriously, you gotta... I don't like Pete Davidson or whatever. He had a really hilarious slam on that guy.
Yeah.
And then he had to, like, bring him on the show to apologize him and polish that knob because you can't be mean to a military hero. I mean, he lost that eye while he was in the process of slaughtering a bunch of 15-year-olds, so it's like you gotta worship him.
Right. It's like, dude, this happened on NBC of all places. You don't gotta fucking apologize and make the nationalist happy. You don't have to fucking make the football fans calm down on that program specifically. You really don't. I mean, they didn't apologize to Donald Trump every time they made fun of him. It's just, it's the same shit. Like, why are we... I don't know. I don't know. There's really nothing else going on in metal this week. Ozzy Osbourne is skeptical of COVID-19 vaccine.
Vaccine? Yeah, me too.
Yeah, which is fine. That's smart. That's the one thing that it's not okay to be... It's not okay to be skeptical of the actual pandemic, but just all of these fucking vaccines we're hearing all about.
Skip the FDA. We'll skip trials. It'll be fine. It won't be water being shot into your veins.
Here's what Ozzy said, and I'm not going to do an Ozzy voice because I want you guys to know what he actually said. I never really thought about it. I'm just Ozzy. My wife calls me Ozzy. I'm just Ozzy. I'm just here. The only good thing about this pandemic, I couldn't work anyway because of my injuries. I'm hoping that I'll be booking 2022, I think. To be honest with you, I don't think it's going to get shipshape until the end of next year. I think this winter is going to be fucking bad because you're going to have the flu. People are like, I'm not taking the flu shot. You know what? You can give me anything, but I'm not going to be number one on that fucking new vaccine. I don't want to be the first one to wake up with a set of fucking antlers in the morning.
That Aussie charm.
What a class act.
You know, that's smarter and more coherent and well thought out than anything that Zoltan Bathory has said.
Right. It's just fucking antlers in the morning.
You still got it.
Still got it. He deserved those TV shows, you know. Has anyone seen the TV show where it's like the Osbournes deal with the paranormal with fucking Jack Osbourne on that new dumb show?
No, I don't have cable or nothing. So I mean, you could just be making this up, and I would believe that this is a real thing.
No, it's a I think it's on the Travel Channel or one of those channels that just shows like paranormal nonsense to people with smooth brains. And
basically, the screen is green and people are just yelling into nothing.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. And it's just Sharon Osbourne and Ozzy Osbourne sitting in chairs watching paranormal footage like those green screens you're talking about and trying to come to some sort of conclusion about it. And Jack Osbourne hosts it. And from the previews, I can tell it's a very stupid show, but maybe we should check it out one of these weeks.
If you can find a way for me to watch this, I'm interested.
We'll check it out. Boys, we're about time. Is there anything else we want to drop on before we let y'all go and do our thing?
Right now we're taking the Eagles at -5, Washington +7 against the Browns. I feel good about that one. And the Niners at 3.5 against New York Giants. How do we feel about those as a three-way parlay?
Let me tell you, I can't wait to edit out everything you just said.
All right, boys, we're making money today.
All right, guys, keep it metal, keep it safe, stay indoors, and we'll see you next week.
All right, love you.
Shut the fuck up, Zoltan Bathory.
Shut the fuck up, Zoltan.
You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.